Welcome to the Banking Reinvented podcast. Every week, we discuss how banks can progressively modernize their customer journeys and model business operations around their customers. You're listening to Tim Rutten, and I'll be joined by Backbase CEO and founder Jouk Pleiter and other senior banking leaders from around the globe. Ready to unpack how to re-architect banking together? Let's get started. All right, welcome back everyone to another episode of Banking Reinvented. And today I'm rejoined again by Thomas Fuss. Thomas, good morning, good to see you.
Hi Tim, good to see you again. Happy to be on the podcast again.
Good stuff. I understood you didn't have breakfast, so we'll keep it light for today. We're just prior to lunch here still, so we'll just make it a lively session and go through it. So for today, before we get started, maybe on the news, no specific insight, but maybe mostly something exciting for Backbase today. We just announced in the news that we signed a deal with CIH Bank Morocco, who is fully going to embrace the Backbase platform and transform the financial lives of the Moroccan population that they are servicing. I think there it's also really good to see in the announcement that they're really choosing for a Backbase platform, or a platform like Backbase, I have to say, to really service their customers, where in the back of the actual decision is, of course, optimizing the customer lifetime value. Which is a nice hook to the episode of today. We're going to be discussing how do you grow the top line. And I would say, Thomas, over the past few months, we've been executing multiple regional events. They're called Backbase Engage. That's where we share our vision with the different regions where we are active. One of those keynotes was yourself. And within that, you were speaking of a topic called the Customer Lifetime Orchestrator. We will get there. We're going to discuss it and unpack it step by step. But maybe we can just start off with the view of driving top line revenue growth. What is your vision there and how does AI play into it?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think the topic is not new, right? So I think everyone is, this would be strange if we would not be talking about, but I think we are doubling down on the topic big time because we actually believe that through our engagement banking platform, we can have a dramatic impact on it. And I think today, what is that a lot of banks have, they put a lot of emphasis on the acquisition of customers. So you see a lot of campaigning, referral bonuses, better interest rates. But then actually what is that often it stops there, and then actually to unlock that value from that customer and the potential often has a hard stop. So it doesn't necessarily go then from this activation, from this acquisition into an activation state where actually we don't just have acquired this customer, but actually this is a customer that is happily using and banking with you. And also then looking at, can we actually be of further help to this customer? May it be a private individual, may it be a company banking with you, just really catering to your needs to actually provide a win situation at the end of the day, in which case basically the customer is better service, but also as a bank, ultimately we're going to expand the share of wallet with this customers, helping us to grow our business. And of course, it goes all the way then to potentially also even, yeah, do we have strategies in place to retain customers? Because we spend a lot of time to getting that customer into our bank, but then actually do we also have strategies to really retain these customers, have a happy relationship? Because especially nowadays, I think there's almost this type of war going on for the customers. If you be a bit dramatic, where you see all these challenger neo banks, but you see also traditional banks making fantastic steps and becoming more customer centric. I think everyone is trying to grow. Everyone is trying to grow their share of wallet, to acquire new customers. And if you are not careful, you will basically just become a revolving door. Yeah. And I think that's what we're trying to tackle also now with our platform, also to say, how is it really helping financial institutions to cater for the entire customer lifecycle? From the moment you become a customer, all the way to hopefully retaining you and maybe bringing your children to the bank as well.
That's the ideal picture, especially from the old days. If I may, I typically hear in the field that banks have an acquisition problem, or they're focused on, we need to fix our acquisition strategy because we're not able to basically get all the value out of our current customer population. Would you say that maybe that view is incorrect or not complete, perhaps?
It's not complete. I would say not complete is probably the right answer. Surely you would want to grow and therefore you want to continue to acquire new customers. But I think many financial institutions don't actually have a clear view on the potential of the existing customer base, right? Do they have an understanding who is their true target customer? What is that product offering you bring to the table? What is actually your product penetration? There's a range of products do you hold? Do you even know how it's being consumed by your entire customer base? I think that is really where the balance needs to come. So you're not just growing your business by adding new customers, but also actually making deeper relationships with your existing client base and deepening the share of wallet with them. And the only way of doing this, I'm fairly really convinced about this, is at the end of the day by actually understanding their needs and also then also proposing the right services to these customers. And I'll make a very nice example where this can also go wrong. So I'm banking with many banks, and one of my banks is offering a car insurance that I have. I'm quite happy with it. But the very same bank is currently, for the past 6 months, running a campaign towards me advertising the car insurance that I already have, which is, I think, exactly how you should not be doing it, because clearly it's a one-fits-all solution. It's not catering maybe for the needs that I have today. But let's say on the positive side, they're trying to engage with their consumers, but it's not necessarily then really creating the growth in the existing customer base. And I think that's a missed opportunity. And that's what you would want to then change, is actually truly understand who your customers are, how you can service them, and how do you also get in touch with them to actually make them aware of the fact what else you have to offer them, and how this actually is relevant to them. And I think that is really the missed opportunity today, and where it's not just about the net new acquisition, but it's also about growing the product holdings within your existing client base.
Also, the example that you share with you already having a certain product and then the product is being campaigned against you, I'd say the intent is good, right? But clearly in the execution, it's either a technological problem or it's maybe even the way the bank is currently organized and executing these types of activities challenge. Because clearly there's no holistic view.
I think you, and just also having worked with many financial institutions around the world, I think this is a very common challenge, and it actually is both a business and a technology challenge. Number one, often that information is just somewhere in the silo, all the way in the bottom, what type of products I hold. And that is not connected with, for example, my sales and marketing engine at the end of the day. So there's a clear technical challenge. On the other hand, I also see the business side, where sometimes there's also just funding, probably right now, for pushing a car insurance campaign, and that takes precedence over everything else. So it's not really the true customer-centric view on it. So the combination of both, and actually, is do we have a clear 360 view of the customers, as well as also as a business, do we understand the needs of our customers and then what we provide towards them? I think many years ago, I had a conversation with a client of ours, and he said something very nice. He said he was having that challenge, and he said something very nice. He said, we as a bank may think that you need a credit card, but you, Thomas, don't need a credit card. You probably need a means to go travel, rent a car, have small credit facility. I have a need, but I don't need the credit card. And if you start to change that type of thinking, and as well as you have a real 360 view on your customer install base, it puts you in a position to actually then really generate new value for your customers, both from the servicing side, so just in general, actually, how am I using my bank, but as well as, of course, then on the selling side, on the sales side, on the growing the customer base. And that's exactly what we're trying to solve now. And that's also why I think now is a good time maybe to go there. We're investing right now into what we call the customer lifetime orchestrator, because we realize that this is very difficult. And so we challenge ourselves, like, how can we help to navigate this situation? How can we help you to create personalized experiences? How can we create you next best actions, recommendations, insights that are truly meaningful for the client, that help to go from just the acquisition to the activation, to expanding, meaning deepening the share of wallet, to the retention of the customer? And I think on our platform, that meant also really not just leveraging all the digital channels that we have, but and the information that we have, but also embracing new technologies. So that's also why we as Backbase leaned into what we now call our intelligence fabric, which you could think of your one-stop shop for anything that is data foundation engineering related, to the analytics space, all the way now to maybe AI and large language models. So it's a very powerful fabric, aka toolbox, which we use to build out our customer lifetime orchestration. But the whole intent of the intelligence fabric is to also allow our partners, our customers, to innovate in the same means with it and create these actions and insights for their customers. And so, yeah, what is the customer lifetime orchestrator? Is exactly what we basically have been hinting at. So how do you look at the customer across the entire journey being with a bank? And it means, for example, it will look at your customer data, it will look at the different profiles, and I can say then, for example, nudge the customer in the first 5 days to maybe make the first transactions because it originated with a credit card. And maybe, okay, first step would be activating Apple Pay, and then you make your first transaction. So you become a user, you become familiar with the app. And as we're making transactions, maybe we learn more about that customer that will allow us to give the next recommendation and so on and so forth. And this becomes a self-training model eventually, because as the customer continues to use the banking application, starts with the products that the person has or that company is using, at the end of the day, we'll be able to learn more about that customer and therefore also start to make more recommendations of other services that may be fitting. And that means actually we're going from something which is very reactive, where we're thinking that the customer is going to browse the website and going to check what type of products I have to offer, to actually us as a financial institution sharing what we have to offer. And I think that's really changing the foundation of how we bank, because it means basically that there's a segment of one and every customer feels catered to. And I think that's just very fundamentally different from my car insurance example before, where clearly even in the email I can already see that I'm just one of many. And I think just at a human level, I think we can all relate to the fact that the moment you feel catered for and you feel like you're being understood, or there's someone proactively trying to help you, may it be in business or private or social life, I think that is a positive signal and it creates a relationship. And I think we've seen some research by, I think, McKinsey, where they say basically applying especially artificial intelligence in creating such a life cycle orchestration has helped to increase customer satisfaction by 20%. And in line with that, they've seen an uptick in revenue of these financial institutions by 10 to 15%. Doesn't just sound very logical, but also I think data is really here to prove the fact that if you embrace it and actually you do think about how you're going to orchestrate the customer lifetime value and how you use things like AI to continuously learn towards you as a customer and then start make more personalized recommendations, insights, offers, it does have a positive effect. And the positive effect is a win. There's a win for the customer who definitely gets value out of it. And as a bank, you're going to grow your top line eventually.
It also really, to me at least, reminds me of growth hacking with typical platform players, where you really look at different cohorts of customers that come into your platform, be it on Uber, be it on Netflix, Spotify, what have you, Airbnb for that matter, similarly. They will all have their specifics, and these cohorts you can literally see, hey, if we trigger them with these types of products or these types of servicing moments or these nudges, we have a higher probability of retaining them, we have a higher probability of capturing a certain share of wallet from them, because we're delivering value. I think there you mentioned moving from reactive to proactive. To me, this is really super proactive, like a growth engine almost, where you're indeed through acquisition strategies getting a net new customer in, focused also on getting the right customer in, and then having an optimum engine running, yeah, to actually get the maximum value out of that individual because you were delivering that value at the same time.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's actually perfect reference. I think in the end, exactly, Backbase is becoming your growth engine. And I also like that you make the reference to Airbnb and Uber. And in a way, they have been doing this for years. Of course, technology is changing. So now we have large language models versus maybe some very more traditional machine learning scenarios that we had in the past. But they have been applying a lot of these concepts before. And even at the small scale, I don't even want to dismiss that also this has happened in financial services. Some more technically advanced, others maybe on a spreadsheet. You can also do this exercise on a spreadsheet. But what fundamentally is changing right now is that we can truly do this type of growth hacking towards the segment of one, so meaning really to the individual customer, which was not possible before, because we're looking at this growth hacking really not just, again, yeah, it is about identifying cohort, but in that cohort, yeah, it could still go down all the way to Tim. And that is really what is also changing now, which makes it even more powerful, and which I think a good growth engine keeps refining itself. And that's also what we're trying to accomplish now with our intelligence fabric, that it is not just a one-off exercise again here, but actually keeps refining itself to Tim, but it keeps refining itself also to that cohort of customers that you're representing at the end of the day.
Now, if you think along the lines of that vision, I think everyone would like to move there, but what needs to hold true to start executing on this?
First of all, I think you have to have a platform like Backbase at the end of the day, of course. Now, I think you've got to have a deep motivation to break every single silo in your organization. So we were talking earlier that there's technology silos, there's organizational silos. So I think you need to break silos in ways of unlocking the potential and this information that is in your legacy systems, lifting them up into an engagement layer like Backbase. You need to also organizationally restructure yourself to be more customer centric. So maybe challenge yourself, does it make sense that the organization is organized into a mortgage department, potentially? And just really organize yourself around the customer in line with technology that allows you to do that, which I think is exactly the ambition that we have at Backbase. So one of our key missions is to architect around the customer. And that means breaking silos coming from legacy core and transactional systems that obfuscate the valuable information that is needed to derive that information, leveraging information from new partners like fintechs that are coming into play, social media channels, if applicable, for example, and then also reaching the customer wherever the preference is. There may be on the retail side very much, maybe just a mobile experience. It could be on the private banking side, really a conversation with your advisor and maybe looking at a shared screen type of thing. And that's really about breaking silos, reaching the customer where the customer is actually reachable, mm-hmm. and having a platform that actually allows you to make sense out of this information, derive insights, and put them together into meaningful ways. That's really needed. But I think, yeah, we can also clearly see from a lot of our customers, in a good way, customers that start working with Backbase, they have already made a decision that they want to change. They want to be different. We have many banks who have now statements, we want to build the bank of tomorrow. And I think that is step one. And then it's how you're going to get progressively out of that world where everything is just transactional and locked up to embracing a platform like Backbase that is able to orchestrate that value and become that growth hacking engine that we just talked about.
I would also say what really captures it to me is it is very much outside in, right? It's really customer centric. And then if you start peeling back what needs to happen to have the proper, let's say, delivery towards the end user, you need to have an orchestration platform or at least something in place where everything comes together, which then can inform all the capabilities that, for instance, allow you to optimize the customer lifecycle, to really work with those cohorts and do the growth hacking activities as an example. Interestingly enough, I think this is the first conversation that goes to a bit more depth on how does AI help the end user experience become meaningfully better, which drives revenue, versus the more classical view of AI is going to just replace human labor.
The potential is clearly there. I think today a lot of banks feel way more comfortable on the efficiency play. And of course, that's massive. I don't want to diminish that, like efficiency play on the process automation, digitization of processes, removing manual labor from the entire value chain is, of course, right now it seems like the biggest, maybe also most tangible thing we can embark on. The customer-facing side, I can clearly see a bit of a hesitation, of course, because the question is also how much do you lean in? What is the regulation going to tell us about? Clearly, we would be probably afraid right now to actually use AI to actually also give financial advice. But look, I think using AI to actually help you to find the right product is a very reasonable task that has, again, I think only positive benefits for both the consumer as well as the bank at the end of the day. So I think there's a lot of opportunities. There's hesitation because there's always very quickly the question is who controls actually what is being prompted, who's liable for these insights and so on and so forth. But I think just generally helping the customers with actions and insights, how to manage your financials and then maybe how to optimize your financials with the products that the bank has to offer. I think these are very reasonable, very tangible steps that I think are within reach for any bank at this moment in time.
Perhaps to benchmark, thanks for the color. We recently had one of our customer advisory boards where we sat around the table with 7 or 8 banking executives that are making the change. They are clearly Backbase customers because they're on our customer advisory board. And we spoke at length on this topic where they felt 2 things. One, we need to be educated on AI because we are not fully comfortable, confident on how to bring it to the end customer. And secondarily, there was also certainly the where does the responsibility start and end when it comes to the actual advice that's given to another individual customer. That conversation was very interesting and it ended up being, yeah, we do leverage AI to get to a certain level of advice, but then there's a human check still. Very valid. I think that's maybe also progressively the way to move into AI, to not go all the way and get all the, let's say, anxiety of we don't really know what's happening there. Do you see this as well with, let's say, other clients in our population?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's exactly the way to go. And I think that makes also total sense. This is yet again another progressive journey that we're on, right? So little by little, we're learning more about the technology side of the house. We're learning more about the impact this can have. I think this is just normal. But I also believe that there's also the truth that at the end of the day, I think AI will be able to give better advice than a human is capable of. The question is, how do we get there? But for now, for sure, certainly, I think it's about calibrating your appetite, knowing also your customer base, who does want what. But I think it's totally fine to say, hey, we'll just generate these insights. And you can, for example, then say, hey, would we think you'd be a suitable candidate for a short-term consumer loan? Do you want to schedule a call with a bank employee? And I think that's a perfectly viable scenario versus just pushing the product all the way through, maybe, right? And maybe that is also really the right thing to do, because again, actually, it creates even another moment, because you have a conversation, maybe you learn again about the customer again, and through sentiment analysis in the call, maybe we're generating more insights that actually you need even something else, and we give you even a better offering. So, but it is a progressive journey, as much as on the leaning into getting to know the technology, as well as the confidence level of what is the outcome of AI, as well as also the acceptance by the consumers. I think that's also something, maybe it's also fair to say, are we underestimating right now how ready are the consumers actually just to be prompted and informed and educated and surprised with the insights? We'll see. But I think we can all see that this is the path forward. But I think it's just also about going on the journey and then finding where your confidence level is and doing that. But yeah, right now I also believe that to a large extent it's about getting on the journey, and then we'll see.
Yeah,
no one knows. It's also fair to say AI is big, and now we talk about this in this podcast, so it's obviously huge as a topic. But there's also the reality is like not there was just a Tesla roadshow, right? And the robots were navigated by a remote in the background. So it's there's a long way to go, but we're all excited about the future.
And it's progressive, and it's still a combination of human and digital in this sense, as we're discussing. To wrap up this part, just a little bit of a data point from Deloitte Research. Data-driven personalization increases customer loyalty by 15%, which is helpful. But even more, it drives an improvement of 35% in the total value of the lifetime of that customer. Very much in line with the McKinsey data point you just shared. I think those advisors already give a hint, pretty strong hint of what is possible if you fully embrace this move. Let's move to the key takeaways. We started the episode by saying banks are acquiring, but they're not activating, right? That's really where it started, by saying, yes, you can acquire, but to really activate, expand, retain the customer, really grow the customer lifetime value over time, there's just a massive opportunity. How to do it? I think the real disconnect we're seeing in the field with a typical traditional bank is that they're not able to service the customer as such, because they're not architected like it. They don't have the platform in place to bring everything together. And they're also very much, or very often, not organized against it. So you basically see disconnected efforts, which unfortunately don't allow you to really hit the objective that you rightfully so have set as an organization. I think at the end of the day, we also spoke quite a bit about being super customer centric, being outside in focused, which then, if you unpeel that step by step, we'll tell you that having an engagement layer in place where it all comes together is the only way you should be thinking about getting into the pattern, because that is simply what you need to be in place to unlock the AI opportunity. And whether you do that with the likes of a Backbase, or you build on your own, or with an alternative, I think the principle very much holds true. And that's what we've been discussing here at length in the podcast. So the how did you conclude it with, Thomas? Break down the silos, both on the technology side as well as on the people side. Almost reorganize around your customer. Why would you have a mortgage department? It already signals in the most extreme way, like it signals that there are just these pockets which you get what you organize for, right? It's one of those typical quotes. Yeah, and effectively those topics will allow you to, over time, hopefully, have a healthy ambition to go for the change. And then these are the ingredients you can play with. Thomas, anything to add or double down on?
Just love to double down on the word orchestration, right? So I think also as Backbase, we've come from a place where it was all about creating an engagement banking platform that is doing the orchestration across omni-channel. But now what we see, that whole notion of orchestration, it just goes 360 across everything, orchestration is the key word of unlocking any type of potential that you have within your organization. That comes from your banking processes, from your data, from the insights, to the timing, the where, the how. Orchestration is the key, and AI has probably going to have the biggest impact on that notion of orchestrating value.
Nothing to add. Very nice. Thanks, Thomas. It was a fun episode. Thanks for joining. I'll see you the next time.
Thanks, Tim.
Thanks for listening to Banking Reinvented, a podcast by Backbase. Make sure to follow both Jouk and myself on LinkedIn, where we will be sharing key insights about our journey towards modernizing banking.